The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I say
shot, no shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
Now, I get it, Peggy. This is supposed to be a fun segment where we just voice our opinion.
No.
I have legit anxiety for this every single time.
It's shot or no shot, and we have no idea what's coming.
I know. I don't like it.
I don't either, because we have to just talk off the top of our heads.
Right.
As if we don't do that all the time anyways.
I know.
Right? I just want to say something really quick to the Twitter trolls. I've been doing my job for 25, almost 30 years. I don't report rumors. I don't report lies. And I have been in communication with people close to Tevin Jenkins. So those of you who are calling me TMZ and clickbait, you need to go find someone else to troll, because block, block, and block.
Yes.
Take that.
Yes, let's do shot or no shot, because now I'm riled up.
Now you're riled. I mean, I love a riled up Peggy anytime.
Oh, right, Shay, let's go, Shay. What do we got?
Good morning, Peggy. Good morning. Just have to say, I would not take TMZ as an insult, because they are very reputable.
Very.
They don't get anything wrong.
That's true.
That is true. I know. That is true.
That is all I would say to you. Shot or no shot, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'll start with you're both Bears experts, so the first couple should be layups. Ryan Poles spoke yesterday about repairing the relationship with Roquan Smith after Smith called the contract offer he received, quote, distasteful. Let's hear from Ryan Poles.
Hold on. My bad.
We need coffee in our audio system.
That's right, our poor audio system.
He plays a good player. That's never changed. And he's a good dude, so I have faith that he's going to have a good year, and we'll, you know, work on our relationship and all that. It's not even like a bad thing either. It's just when we've all been there, right? You have disagreements, and then you got to come back together and be teammates. So that's what I expect.
So you kind of heard it from there. It sounds like they're going to try to mend the relationship as best they can, fix things. My question, shot or no shot, the Bears and Roquan will reach a long-term extension next offseason.
Wow. I'm going to say no shot. And I say that because I do think they will repair their relationship. I do think that they have both decided to just go ball, and that it's... Yes, I just said that.
You did.
I think, though, that the emotions invested by Roquan Smith and the dollar amount that we have heard that he wants, there's no shot the Bears are going to give that to a guy that they did not draft and bring in themselves. It doesn't mean that he's not worth it, but it's not within their plans of building for the future. I am going to say no shot.
See, I'm going to go the other way and say there is definitely a shot of that. I worry about the emotional strain of, I mean, he said some pretty harsh things. Distasteful. They weren't negotiating in good faith. They weren't treating him fairly. He wanted out. I mean, he said some really harsh things. That is going to take a lot of time to repair. He's betting on himself, and I think he wants to be here. And I think Ryan Poles even said that during Family Fest, when they said, well, why is Roquan still around the team if he's demanding this trade? He said, I think that means he wants to be a Chicago Bear. And so I think there's a shot at that. So much will happen over these next 17 games that there's definitely a shot at that. So, yeah, I'm saying shot. See, I just feel like I don't do it right. That's why I get nervous about shot or no shot.
Oh, I thought you did great, both of you. See, half the time, Cap and Hoodie, they don't even say shot or no shot. They just go off on some tangent. You both answered the question. That's important. All right. Next up, Ryan Poles also promised to be, quote, completely relentless in pursuit of talent on the waiver wire and has already made 7 claims, including adding wide receiver Amir Smith-Marset yesterday. He caught 3 passes for 103 yards and a touchdown against the Bears last season. The Bears also worked out veteran offensive lineman Kaliche Osemele yesterday. The Bears have retained just 22 of the 77 players they inherited from Ryan Pace. My question, shot or no shot? You've been impressed by Poles' ability to totally remake the roster in one offseason.
Shot. I'm so impressed. I think more so impressed with his, the way he does it. I hate using this word because it sounds like the previous GM, but with conviction, right? And he's removed, he said when he sat down in that introductory press conference, we are going to look at this roster with zero emotional attachment. And that is exactly what he has done. And I have been impressed with the way he has continued to work through the roster. And I talked to Courtney Cronin about this earlier this week. Like, what does that say about him that there are only a handful of guys left from the last one? And things are turning over all the time, and there are a lot of young guys. And she said, I think it means that this is a very fluid situation with the roster. I like that because the issue the Bears have is a talent problem. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's going to show up once they kick off the season. So there's definitely a shot. I'm very impressed with what he's done so far.
Shay, what was the question at the end of shot? Just so I
you've been impressed by Poles' ability to totally remake the roster in one off season.
Well, no shot that I'm impressed yet.
I am.
Well, they haven't even played a game yet. He kept 9 of their 11 draft picks. They have now the second youngest roster, I think, in the NFL. Last year, they had the second oldest. Okay. But they haven't stepped on the field. I mean, is there talent? Yes. But how much? We don't know.
Right.
Can they play? They are so young. Can they play on Sundays? We don't know. They did well on Saturdays, a lot of them. Okay. Can he find talent? Yes. I will tell you that he can find talent, but I'm not impressed yet. How can you be impressed yet? They haven't played a game. Stop. We don't know how they're going to come together.
Stop yelling at me.
I'm Cap. I'm supposed to yell.
Okay, then you're boring.
Honestly, I just say no shot, and I even think that Ryan Poles would say totally fair for you. Let's give it time. Let's see yet if the talent he has brought in. Yes, he's brought in talent, but we don't know yet if they could play on Sundays. So I'm going to say no shot am I giving him my stamp of approval yet on talent.
Well, for the question at 8:07, a week before they play a game, I am impressed.
Wow. So I have so far been the no shot person, and you've been the shot person.
You've been screaming at me for 4 minutes.
You are agreeable, and I am disagreeable. See?
No, it'll change.
My day started off bad, and I'm taking it out on you. I'm sorry, Dion.
It's okay. I can handle it.
Oh, my
gosh. I'm okay.
This is typically me and my kids in the morning, you know, when you say to them, can you just, like, get on the train for a second? No. I heard you. Okay.
Oh,
and
my
it's
God.
Like, put your shoes on. I'm going. Get your bag.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
gosh,
yeah.
It's so stressful
it's
in the morning.
So stressful.
I'm sorry, Shay.
Onward.
I'm enjoying it. All right. I want to pivot to the NBA because even in football season, they find ways to steal headlines. Yesterday, the Cavaliers went out and got Donovan Mitchell from Utah, adding the all-star guard to a lineup, including young stars Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. We all know the Chicago Bulls chose their offseason lane in the vein of continuity, returning nearly their entire roster from last year and relying primarily on the growth and development of young guys like Patrick Williams and Ayo Dosunmu. So my question, shot or no shot, the Cavs are now better than the Bulls in the
Shot. I mean, let's just line up the shots on the table because the Bulls did not do enough. They do not have a rim protector. We don't even know about the health of the team. We have no idea the future. The guys that they've already invested in did not get the job done last year. That is such a no shot. You don't get better by sitting idle.
Right.
You just don't. And if
when
you're
you
counting
didn't do
on
anything,
when you're if you're just counting on experience, it's going to make you better. Just go, go down 94 and look at Milwaukee and tell me that
that's
you're
what I was
better
say.
Than Milwaukee.
Go down just the Eastern Conference in general and find the teams you're better than.
No,
you're much more better than you than
shot.
The Cavs are definitely better than the Bulls right now.
Absolutely.
All right. The White Sox held a players-only meeting again before their 7-1 win over Kansas City yesterday. It's the second such meeting in 2 months. This one comes off the heels of Tony La Russa's indefinite absence. And the focus of the meeting reportedly was on, quote, having fun when they take the field the rest of the season. So, shot or no shot, this is all too little too late for the Sox.
Shot. It is all too little too late. I'm so over this team trying to salvage their season. Peggy, in any other division in baseball, they would be long out of it.
Right. Right.
They are lucky that they can stay somewhat relevant playing mediocre to bad baseball.
I'm wondering, this is definitely a shot. Did they just suddenly start listening to their fans?
Right.
Did they suddenly realize that the fans are upset?
Yes.
Did they all of a sudden realize that there's only a month left in the season?
Right. And now we need to have more fun. And
I am so
what is that gonna do?
Over this team
yeah.
and the expectations that were put on them. And I don't, yes, there were some questions with the front office. If they brought in, they didn't bring in the left-handed bat that everybody was looking for. But listen, across baseball, this team looked very good. And it's not just on paper. They have proven that they are a very good team. Player by player by player needs a mirror in their locker stall and look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself what you have and have not done this year.
Yeah.
And while you're taking off the bandages on all your little owies.
Or limping down. My legs are tired.
Take
a number. Everybody's legs are tired. Get over it. You've played 130-some games.
Right.
It's been the same story again and again and again.
You realize that the fans have really turned their back.
Yeah.
And that is
not
a good thing.
They're so over it. They're so over it.
A players-only meeting like that. Like, you know what would make me happy, Shay? Is if in that players-only meeting, someone threw something. There was, you know, the Gatorade stand was kicked over.
Yes.
That someone was like, enough already.
Who would you want to be
it's
that
like
person?
Billy Bean smashing the boombox in Moneyball.
Yes, yes. Who would you want to be that person?
Oh, I don't know who it is on the team that has that fire.
That's what I'm saying. That's what
I
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, Jose Abreu, he's leader.
The leader,
but
yeah.
he's, you know, a very quiet leader.
Same.
And he leads by example. I don't know who else on this team can be considered that type of a leader. Honestly,
but
Johnny Cueto is the one that's been the most outspoken.
It needs to be Johnny. It would say a lot if it's Johnny Cueto, but he's been here for a minute. Look at those guys who have been here for a long time. They're the ones who aren't even able to stay on the field. It's infuriating to watch, and it's what's frustrating is to have them getting close to being in that playoff conversation. They're not. No one around this league believes in them. No one.
I know. So enough with the players-only meetings already. Just get the job done.
Just get it done.
We have been supportive of this team the entire season.
Yeah.
Entire season. And I can't sit there and give that kind of undying support anymore.
No, so can't.
Well, we survived.
Did we do it?
Yes.
That
was shot or no shot.
We did survive.
Right now, caller 5 will get a 4-pack of goodies to Hawthorne Racecourse. The 4-pack includes $100 in food and beverage credits, four $25 wagering vouchers, 4 live racing programs, 4 Hawthorne branded items. Again, that's right. Right now, caller number 5 at 312-332-3776 will get the goodies 4-pack to Hawthorne Racecourse.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You can watch us on Twitch today and every day, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And if you are watching, you see us in the breaks and Dion and I are just like,
yeah.
Oh, we get riled up.
We are
with some of our conversation,
this morning.
And it's, you know, and we're so sorry we missed our caller that thinks that we are being too negative on the White Sox. Well, let me tell you something. I have gone to more Sox games this year than I have gone to in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have supported them. I have not gone to any games on the North side, and I claim to be a fan of both teams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do I lean more to the South? Yes, I do, okay? And I am so frustrated because this team has not performed to their abilities.
That's the most frustrating thing about it. And it's they. What have people said? Are they the most disappointing Chicago sports team that we've had in decades? I don't know if that's true, but it's the expectations were so high, and that. But by their like that was what they set before us.
Yes,
we look on paper, and they are built to win. They just haven't been able to do it.
What did they all say in spring training? World Series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every player we learned was so not much. Afraid to say World Series. We know that we are built for the postseason.
Yes.
And so, yes, if you want to say, you just said it, Peg, they are built for the postseason. So why are you complaining? Because they still do not lead their division the final month of the season.
No. And like they, all they said was they learned so much going to the postseason last year, losing as quickly as they did to Houston. And they were like, okay, we know it's going to be different this year. No, it's not. It's worse.
Yeah.
And there's no explanation for it.
Yep.
There's no explanation
so
for it.
So Frank Thomas used to have hanging in his locker when he was a player. I remember seeing it in his locker. He had this little sign, or maybe it was a note, and it was in his locker that said, "Don't believe the hype." Mm. And it was his own reminder to himself. Don't believe you're as good as people are telling you
you are.
Don't believe you still have to perform on the field. You still have to be hungry every single day.
That's why he's in the Hall of Fame, Peggy.
Right? And
there's nobody on this team that I feel like operates that way.
No, that's the
problem. And they might tell me different, but it doesn't occur to me that that's what's happening.
It's just so frustrating. That's the only word I could come up with, that it's so frustrating that we're not seeing it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So that, my friend, who called and hung up and was upset
that we are so negative about the White Sox.
That is why. And we are not alone.
No, we're not alone.
We are not alone.
Everyone thinks that
312-332-3776. It's Peggy and Dion.
I know.
Filling in for Cap and Jay Hood on this holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I got here despite my car being on empty.
The stress.
And it will still be on empty when I...
It will. My husband, every time he gets in my car, he's like, again? I am always pushing it until that needle is
again,
so
it's
far
the guys.
And there, he worries about it. Now, he doesn't even like his light to come on, right?
My dad used to always say, you never let it get below half a tank.
Okay, so my husband is the son of a truck driver. And so automobile information all came from his dad, who was incredibly old school. But that's where he learned that, too. Like, never.
Yes.
Never like, a quarter of a tank, you're getting gas.
Yes. My husband, if he got in my car and saw that the light was on, he would have taken my car last night and filled it up.
That's what my husband does. Yeah,
for me.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, I'll make it. I can make it.
I know that once the light comes on, I still have about 30 miles.
Well, that's what I figured.
25 to 30. Right. That's, I underestimate.
I'm 28 miles. I'm 28 miles to get
downtown.
So like
I said, it will not start when you go back. We're going to have to call AAA.
Oh, I forgot to tell you.
What?
Shay, you're going to die with this. When I finally got downtown after my frantic GPS telling me it was going to take 50 minutes and then an hour, 10 minutes. And then I almost, was late for the show this morning. I turned down Dearborn off of Ida B. Wells Drive.
Yeah.
And a Pepsi truck. The guy opened the back of the truck and all the cases came flying out. I almost stopped to take video of it because it was so funny. And
that's
all I could
hilarious.
Think of is, no, Shay is expecting me to be here. I can't be late. Cans were rolling all down Dearborn.
Did any of them blow up?
Well, no, but I'm thinking, we'll take those because you can't sell them now.
No, you can't.
Right.
Because they're all dented.
It's a lot of free Pepsi.
It's a lot of Pepsi.
Did you see there were two news articles this week. One truck on I-55 in Memphis got like sheared off the side of it. Alfredo sauce spilled all over the freeway. And then a different truck in California had the same issue with spaghetti sauce all over the freeway.
What?
That's insane.
Come on. My husband's good friend right after college, Bubba, had a job working for Frito-Lay, and he was one of those drivers. And so every time he went, I think he was in Texas, his route was in Texas, and
he would stop and make his deliveries, and everyone just called him Chip. Hey, Chip.
That's funny.
It's like, because he was with Frito-Lay.
That's so awesome.
But I'm telling you, the Pepsi all over Dearborn, I was dying.
Oh, my gosh. That's
like,
so funny.
Well, someone else is having a worse morning than me.
You're not alone in your Friday frustration.
Congratulations.
You are not alone.
We have a couple of White Sox callers as we were talking about the frustrations with the White Sox. Let's go back to my neighborhood in Edison Park. Justin is joining us. Hi, Justin. Welcome to Cap and Jay Hood with Peggy and Dion. Good morning.
Hi. So I'm actually a Cubs fan, but I follow the White Sox pretty closely. And it seems like on every show, everyone's always talking about this team is underperforming. They're better on paper. Why are they not living up to expectations? I guess I've never really heard anyone tell me, why do people feel that way? Like, why do people feel they're underperforming? Why is this not just who they are?
Well, because first of all, look at the bats in the lineup. Mm-hmm. Okay, they are built to hit home runs, and they're not hitting home runs. They're one of the highest singles hitting teams in baseball. They're not going deep. Their pitching staff is highly rated going into the season. They have one of the deeper pitching staffs. Now, they have been good. It's really the offensive players go up and down the lineup.
Yeah.
They've got boppers in the lineup. That's what these guys do. And they have all done it. The problem is now they're not doing it consistently, and they haven't performed to what any of their career averages are.
They have been that way, and it's been that way for 130 games. I think that's what's so frustrating is you think, okay, eventually they're going to get hot. Or because they have, I love the word boppers, because they have such good hitters in the lineup, you just expect them to, we expected them to turn that corner late May, right, early June, really take over the division. This division is there for the taking based on the talent that it looks like they have on their roster. It just isn't translating once they get on the field. It hasn't all season. And what is keeping them from coming together and kind of rallying together to do that? Not having team meetings to talk about having more fun. You know what's fun? Winning. Winning is fun, Peggy.
Exactly.
Winning
exactly.
is fun.
Let's go out to Lockport. Rod is joining us, and he agrees about the White Sox, but he may not agree that they are built to win. Hi, Rod.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. You guys make Twitchels better, I'll tell you that.
Bless you, Rod. You win. Caller of the day.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I was just telling you, they're not built to win. They have four DHs in their lineup.
Yeah.
They're not built to win. They need a left-handed bat. They need a right fielder. They need a left fielder because Eloy's not a left fielder. He's a DH. Grandal's not hitting for the second year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's terrible. When he went on the DL, I was like, hopefully he stays off, but he's back, so... But they're not. They're definitely not built to win.
The Sox got old and slow real quick.
Real quick.
Like, yeah, and fundamentally, they're terrible.
Like, let's not even talk about between base running, defensive mistakes in the field. I mean, exactly. But that, I think that's more coaching than that is the players.
Well, that is. And that goes down to the minor leagues, too, because that's where it starts.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed, right?
Yeah. They just were frustrated. I don't even watch them anymore. I can't. Because I just throw stuff at the TV and I'm done.
Thank God football started. It's so frustrating.
Exactly.
I know.
Rod, thank you. I know. That's how a lot of Sox fans feel. They're just so frustrated.
Even I watch those games with, like, I keep it on in the background. I don't really pay attention until something frustrating happens. And you can hear it. You can hear it in the announcers. You can hear it. You know that, like, fans are frustrated. And you can tell just barely listening to the game.
I'm also a little frustrated. It makes me uncomfortable to hear people speculate. I heard this on the radio about Tony La Russa when he missed the first game with the medical.
Yeah, when he was
scare.
When he was there for the pregame and then he left.
I'm going to hold this because Jesse Rogers is coming up next. But I'm going to tell you, am I the only one that feels a little uncomfortable with what some people are speculating with Tony La Russa and his medical condition? Because I'll tell you what it is that it makes me uncomfortable when we come back. And we have Jesse Rogers as well. We'll continue our White Sox talk. And then we have Bears talk coming up top of the hour as well with Courtney Cronin. So stick around. More to come.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bro,
Rolling through your Friday morning here on ESPN 1000. I'm Deanne Miller. She's Peggy Kaczynski. We're sitting in for Cap and Jay Hood as they have already begun their holiday weekend. They deserve that.
I'm surprised we haven't seen a picture.
Now I can't see her.
We haven't seen a picture yet of Cap
on his boat.
Doing his
recap on a boat.
His recap on a boat. Or in its, the last time he did it from the cabin, the lake house, it looked like he had a bathing cap on. And I tweeted that out. I was like, are you wearing a bathing cap? He's like, it's my hat on backwards. I'm like, well, you look like you have a bathing cap on.
Well, I have not yet been to the Wisconsin house.
Oh, but I know. I haven't either.
Jesse Rogers has been there.
Oh, he's on that
morning,
inner circle.
Jesse. He is on the inner circle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's when he broke the guy code.
He did and brought his wife. We're still holding that against you, Jesse.
Look, I mean, I don't want to get too intimate or this early in the morning, but if I don't bring my wife, it's me, Chuck Garfine, and Cap, and Ryan McGuffey.
I think
we needed to class it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, we're siding with you.
There's
well
another
done.
Name we could have called that group, which is...
Exactly. So I really needed.
I mean, that's
that
a total sausage fest.
No doubt. That's fantastic.
Yes. So us bald guys have to wear the caps backwards sometimes, protect the head any way we can. Just remember that. So I'll defend Cap on that as well.
Oh, that's what it is.
Just own it. Okay, Jesse. Well, it has been an eventful week for the White Sox. Let's start with Tony La Russa. You spoke with him on Tuesday before he was taken out for these medical reasons. Obviously, lots of concerns about his health. How do you feel this group has responded to this?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a rallying cry. And I do think that they have him in his mind. And there might be some renewed energy in terms of let's win one for Tony. He is pretty well liked in there in the sense that I think he's tried hard to connect with the players. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, maybe they rolled their eyes at some decision-making, like the 1-2 intentional walks and all that. But in terms of one-on-one connection, I think Tony's probably worked more than he ever has at connecting. It's probably contributed to his stress level, just trying to cover everything in an underachieving season. So they've responded pretty well. I mean, they lost the first game, won these next two, but they've kind of done that all year anyway, against the bad teams. They'll lose a game, then win two. So I don't know if it's going to be the big rallying cry for the month, but at least they haven't gone backwards. I mean, the true test is upcoming, right? They have nine against the Twins, including three this weekend. At least overtake them. Win this series. You at least tie them in the standings. You can't think of Cleveland until you pass Minnesota. So, yeah, it's been a decent response, so to speak. I think we're going to find out sooner rather than later what Tony's prognosis for the rest of the season is, maybe by the end of this weekend or whatnot. They've got to come out and give some clarity. At least you think they would. And best to Tony out in Arizona. Hopefully he's okay. And, I can't imagine he's cleared to come right back. I mean, think about that serious nature of at 6 o'clock. He's ready to manage on Tuesday. And they say, no, don't even manage tonight and get on the plane tomorrow. Go home tonight and then come see us the next day. Like, you can't even manage one more game. So to me, there's a seriousness of the nature just by the timeline itself.
And anyone that knows anyone that has had any kind of heart issues, you have to tread very carefully because, you could have a rapid heartbeat and you want to see if things are going to calm down. Maybe this was just a one-time incident. And they could feel it, too. So, Jesse, I got to just say this. It's so uncomfortable when I hear people insinuating or flat out suggesting that this was a conspiracy theory, this was a ploy to motivate the team. That makes me really, really physically ill to hear people suggesting that.
Well, if it's people, it's got to be Twitter then, because, I mean, come on. I mean, it's got to be a social media thing. I'd like to hear one person call in and convincingly say that, because that's just ridiculous. The guy was on the field in uniform like he is every single day until 5:15 that day. I talked to him, saw him. Nothing unusual. And then he goes back. This is what I think probably happened, to be honest. BP, you guys know this starts at 3:30, 4 o'clock. Yeah. He's on the field for a couple hours. he goes back in there, and there's probably a message from his doctors. Like, even the training staff is on the field during batting practice. So if there was a message to be given to him, he probably didn't get it until he gets back down there. Because I did ask Miguel Cairo, did something happen in that hour before the game started? He said, no. His doctors just told him not to manage. So, you know, he goes back in there. He gets a message from his doctors. Hey, there's some numbers that are elevated. You better get home and relax tonight and then get on a plane tomorrow. Something like that. So that's what went down. There's no conspiracy theory. Come on.
Well, and even on Sunday, Jesse, he was pretty fired up. And yeah. So, like, the last time he spoke to the media, he was pretty animated. You could tell he got I guess it was Saturday. He just got frustrated with the way. And so it is stressful. The role that he's playing is very stressful. But are you surprised we haven't heard from Rick Hahn yet?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think he should have probably taken the microphone day one. I mean, yeah. Miguel Cairo looked like a deer in headlights for a moment there, just between the night before and then everything happening so fast. Players didn't realize what was going on because it was so close to game time. And that's why they were going to have a meeting yesterday. I didn't know it was going to turn into a players only thing. And I think the idea of, I think they're out of other options. So let's just go out there and have some fun is probably the final one. Like, we got 30 plus games left. Let's just do this for Tony, have some fun and see what happens. Right. That you're done with trying to hammer, like, hey, play better defense, run the bases better. Let's work on this. That's over. That's done. That horse has left the barn. So I think it was just kind of, let's win this for Tony. Let's go out there and have some fun. So I sort of get that's the last resort. But, yeah, it was a whirlwind. And Rick says he's going to address things when they have some understanding of what the future is going to be. There's nothing wrong with addressing things twice, like on Tuesday and then again when you have some finality. But they did it this way and left Miguel Cairo sort of to answer the questions. He did okay Tuesday. He looked much more nervous Monday night after the game.
That's what I was going to ask you. Tell us now about Miguel Cairo, because there has been some frustrations with some of Tony's decision-making, what the guys on the bench are or are not doing. And Tony would always say, well, we're all talking about it. We all talk about it before I make a decision. What is Miguel Cairo, this is an audition for him to be a manager someday? Does he have the player's ear? Is he going to bring a different sense of style? Or is he literally just a seat warmer?
Well, I think he's going to bring a little different sense of style. I mean, he says he's in contact with Tony, so it's not like Tony's not aware of what's going on and maybe suggesting some things. But, yes, he's pretty tight with the players. I mean, there's no doubt this was Tony's show. Maybe consulted in the moment, but basically this was Tony's show. Let's just face it. He made the decisions. Maybe there was some consultation going on. There always is. Certainly with Ethan Katz, there was. And Miguel's going to let Ethan kind of run that thing as well, the pitching side of it. But I think the guy wants to manage. I mean, he didn't come out and say this is an audition because, it's not very tactful to say that while a guy's going through a medical thing. But I think we'll see a little bit of a style here over the final month. I said to Ronald Silva the other day, look, for those that wanted to see Tony fired, there was a 50-50 chance Miguel Cairo was going to take over, because that's half the time what you do. You elevate the bench coach. So here we go. Let's see what Miguel Cairo can do. A little different with 1 month to go instead of two or three. So I'm not sure how much of his style can be, put down on that team necessarily or instilled in that team. But we'll see. We'll see. He did say jokingly he learned how to change pitchers from Tony, because Tony likes to go to that bullpen. So I'm sure a lot of the things he does, he's learned from Tony La Russa the last couple of years. But he'll put his own mark on it as well.
But can you just clarify, Miguel Cairo didn't call the players' meeting. That was already planned?
Yeah, Miguel Cairo said the night before, we're going to have a little meeting tomorrow. Now, it wasn't clear in that moment if that was players only or Miguel was going to speak. So, it's a fine line there. We're splitting hairs a little bit. But, yes, it was kind of known the day before they were going to have a meeting. Maybe they said, hey, it's your meeting. You guys take it, pointing at the players. I don't know what happened in the moment. But, yes, they had planned to talk to the team because everything had happened so fast, Tuesday, Wednesday or whatever it was, that yesterday they decided to close the doors and just talk about things. But apparently it was just players only.
All right. Well, Jesse, we got to let you go because you have a very busy day ahead of you. We hear you're going to be joining Jeff Mellor later this afternoon.
Yes, it was either go to the White Sox game or go in and talk to Jeff Mellor. I'm going in Dr. Jeff.
I think many of us would
have made the right decision.
But we'll see. Like, anything can happen. We've seen it before. The Cardinals won 17 in a row in September. Stranger things have happened. I'm not a fan of looking up the percentages because our eyes tell us everything. But right. I did go to 538 this morning. They have a 9% chance of winning the division.
Oh my gosh.
Which on its surface feels low because it's four games. It's not 10 games. But I think you add it all up and look, they've got to win a ton against Minnesota. You figure they'll beat each other up. And then four games against Cleveland seem really important because that's all they have left.
Yeah.
But 9% chance, according to 538. So, you know, 9 isn't zero, but it's not great.
Well, there's 100% chance I'm going to be listening to you and Mellor later.
Wow.
Thanks, Jesse.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, that is something.
Ugly.
All right. Well, so that means that your shot at Sox tickets is next, and it could be a pennant race. It could be a pennant race. For those, you may see a pennant race if you win the tickets.
Peg. Nice
save. All right. We'll do that when we come back on ESPN 1000.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
We're jamming to this song again. It's Free Ticket Friday for the last time this summer, brought to you by Miller Lite. Caller 10 will get a pair of tickets to see the Sox versus the Tigers on September 24th. Peg.
And courtesy of Miller Lite, you will also have the opportunity to win White Sox tickets tonight from 6 to 8 at these bars participating in Free Ticket Friday. Anastasio's Restaurant and Sports Lounge in Antioch and Pelican Harry's in Homer Glen. Again, Free Ticket Friday, caller 10 right now, 312-332-3776.
Oh, you're right. I think the first time I didn't give out the number.
Well, people remembered it, okay?
Yeah, they did. They did.
People
they
remembered they it, know. And okay. they know to call in, and it could be a pennant race at that point.
It could be, yeah. No, and hopefully they'll give something to, you know, watch over these last 30 games.
Can we talk Bears?
Yes. Let's turn back to Bears.
I would rather talk about the Bears right now because I was so stunned. It had been almost 5 years since I have covered the team, you know, going to practices and games and locker room. That whole new wing of Halas Hall is stunning.
It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. I said, this looks like a real NFL team.
Yes.
The locker room is gorgeous. And then I realized, no, it looks like a college football, like Ohio State team.
Yes.
Because those teams... Locker rooms are
unbelievable. We just don't get to go into college football locker rooms.
Now, I didn't look in the locker close enough to see, but I know it. A lot of the college football ones, they have like their own little audio station where they can charge their phones.
Oh, I've never looked that closely either.
Yeah. So a lot of the college football stadiums or their locker rooms, they have that. So I didn't get to look in the Bears. I didn't want these guys to think like, who's the old lady like checking out my jockstrap?
My locker stall.
hanging in my locker. I mean, seriously, it's like, hey, mom, get out of my locker.
Right. Exactly. That's the one thing that like stuns me every time I look through the roster or look through the media guide, that I'm older than most of the people.
Oh, yeah. Even your favorite player, Baylor. Willis Jones Jr., who is 25. I went up to him, introduced myself. I said, hey, you came on Peggy and Dion a couple of weeks ago on Saturday. And I said, we just wanted to thank you. And he's like, oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I know. Don't call me ma'am. Don't. It makes me feel so old.
Quite literally. Then I was talking to Roquan Smith, and he was talking to people.
It was really
great to be able to, you know, make eye contact, introduce yourself, say who you are. And so I was telling Roquan, my son and I taped our current podcast that's on the ESPN Chicago app, the sportscaster and her son, with Bob Babich, the Bears linebackers coach with Urlacher and Briggs under Lovie Smith. And so Bob Babich is on this episode, and we talked to him about the 4-3, and we talked to him about Roquan Smith, and, you know, he's coming out of a 3-4 his whole career. Yeah. Even at Georgia, he played in a 3-4. I said, how is he going to be able to transition? And Bob Babich was saying, oh, I studied him. I studied him in college.
No kidding.
He said, he is going to fly in this defense. He said, I've coached this defense my entire career. It is great for him. It is perfect for him. he's going to have, like, open in space. The weak side linebacker in the 4-3, typically the middle linebacker, if you think Brian Urlacher, they drop into coverage. So they're taking a little bit more of the middle of the field. And that weak side linebacker steps up and does a lot of the run stuffing. Now it's like, because of the offenses, it's a little different. And that's what Roquan said. He goes, I told him what Bob Babich said. And he said, well, it's different now. And he goes, I've studied their tape. He said, but the offenses now with the downfield attack is so much different. It's going to be interesting. So, yeah, so it was just so fun to be able to be in the locker room and to
make that connection.
Yes. Talk to them. And we'll talk to Courtney Cronin coming up at 9:15 as well.
It's always great to be in the locker room before any games have been won or lost. It's always good.
Wow, 2 hours under... Seriously, two hours in the book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It flew by. I knew it would. One more to go. She's Peggy. I'm Dion. This is ESPN 1000.